Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Vinegar Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil and I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life, business, and community. And I'm very excited to be here today with Artie Williams as we interview Sandra Stringer, candidate for mayor for the city of Riviera Beach. And every week I share my thoughts about the reading of the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell. I am still thoroughly convinced that we are all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we are calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. And I read a Riviera Beach Moments from Deborah Hall McCollum every week, just a moment in our history for the city. And in changing demographics, the west side of the tracks at Old Dixie Highway for the black residents was the only slice of white on the black side, was a subdivision called Monroe Heights, which was segregated from the black side by a high center block wall built in the 1940s. But actually, as an aside, I lived on the other side of that wall, and this was very interesting when I read this. But the demographics changed in the 1950s and the 1960s in the city of Riviera Beach. In 1964, the Civil Rights Act ended segregation in public places and banned employment discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. The black population increased from 23% of the population in 1950 to 53% in 1970. In 1950, a housing development known as the Veterans Project was built. The Riviera Beach Heights subdivisions was developed and populated with working class professional black families. And with those thoughts and our moment in our history for the city, we want to welcome our guest today, Ms. Sandra Stringer. Ms. Stringer is a candidate for the mayor of the city of Riviera Beach, Florida. She is the embodiment of someone who works at the grassroots level to make a difference with individuals and organizations. Her desire is to produce her work in the spirit of excellence that will provoke individuals and organizations to be the paramount of themselves. She is the president and CEO of Grassroots Consulting, Inc., which is a holistic business consulting firm that provides services for business startups. Her financial business of Stringer and Associates Financial Services includes budget and credit counseling, tax preparation, and licensed insurance agent. Her motto for life is, if I can help somebody along the way, then my living is not in vain. Good afternoon, Ms. Stringer, and welcome to Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. How are you today?
Opportunity.
Absolutely. And if you could just share with our audience a little bit more about yourself, and I'll turn it over to Artie Williams.
Well, thank you guys again for having me on the show. And then waiting on him to ask me the questions, or just go right ahead about myself?
No, you can go ahead and share a little bit about yourself, okay. And then he has some questions he's going to ask. Thanks.
All right. Awesome thoughts. Well, I'm a proven business owner. I've been in business now registered for 15 years. I've provided services throughout Palm Beach County, including Riviera Beach, for the past 20 years in the nonprofit and for-profit sector. And my goal in life is to reduce poverty, and I love your introduction, your series of adjectives that you define yourself as a master wealth builder. And I think we all have a journey of that, and I do that as I help other businesses to start, grow, and be sustainable. And then wrap that around with other services for individuals and families, for them to create a life that they want, to for a legacy for themselves, as well as giving opportunities to others. And thank you again for having me on the show.
Artie?
Hi, Sandra. How you doing? My name is Artie Williams, and I just have a few questions for you that I want to speak with you on today. And my first question to you is, what made you want to decide to run for the mayor of the great city of Riviera Beach?
Well, that's a good question. I have been doing the work for the role, for the current job description of the mayor. I've been doing that work already for the past 20 years. And I feel like we're in a position now that more residents now are being made aware of, or a light bulb going off that, hey, not only do we elect officials, public officials in positions to move the city forward, but we have to be a part of that process. And so my goal is to be that liaison, that leader, that voice on a larger scale for that to happen, to be the conduit between citizens of Riviera Beach and leadership at the city, and then be the conduit for businesses and leadership of the city, that we all take our rightful part in the progress of this great city of Riviera Beach. So that's my why.
Okay. And having said that, what are some of the things, personally as the mayor, that you probably see that happening right now in the city? What are some of the things that you want to focus on?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're not happening. It's just some things that, and I think we all have our own individual priorities. And for me, it's called the E3 factor. The E3 factor consists of education, economic empowerment, and the environment. As it relates to education, I really, 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 really want to bring more awareness and light to our early childhood educational pipeline that starts from your home daycare centers in the city, that starts from your elementary educational schools, your middle schools, as well as your high school. So when we talk about education, it's really a fiber as it relates to literacy. Education is the foundation and from which every single thing grows. Not only would it be early childhood education, but it would be health literacy. That's a big deal. Physical and mental health as it relates around how do we access other services and making it a common, you know, conversation and not some taboo when you talk about literacy. And then, of course, your adult literacy, because we do have individuals in our city that did not graduate, or if they did graduate, they graduated on a social merit and not necessarily a capacity merit. And then from that springboard, looking at our schools and the professionals and the positions that they're in, and how do we get parents engaged and help them to understand, hey, you are your child's first teacher. Not that parents are not doing that, but we need more of it. And then as relates to education, economic empowerment, looking at the family dynamics, talking about wealth building, talking about legacy development, helping individuals to see how do we, you know, increase our income and then reduce our debt. Because every single person knows that have an ear or an eye knows that we're in the world, across the U.S. rather, for sure. And then so how do we move the needle? Because rent is not going down. So having those family dynamics, those family programs, those family conversations, those family coaching sessions to help individuals to see that. And then looking at it from a small business lens, through a small business lens, a lot of individuals think when you use the term small business, they're talking about your day-to-day. But the government defines small business as companies making $5 million or under. You know, some categories fall as far as $10 million and under. So helping small business to access current services and then developing those services that have gaps that we all not only just have a business, but that business is growing and that business is sustainable. And as we're building legacy for our families, we're helping give opportunities to others. So we're going from level to level and from growth to growth. And then I'll close it out with the environment. We know that the current leadership has passed the make a motion or approve a company to come in and to redo the water plant that was so well needed. And we do understand that, you know, infrastructure projects are on the way, but if we do not put in more emphasis on preserving our environment, we're going to still have a greater issue. I talk about recycling because that's one of the, I call the low-hanging fruit that we really can do something about, like, you know, creating initiatives around that from the workplace that, you know, that businesses in the city, you know, champion recycling, and then our residents, you know, and you know, they're living home or renting, that still talk about recycling, because if we do not, our landfills will be next door to us real soon if we do not make that among the conversations that we're having. So looking at those three E's, looking at the E3 factor, that is some of the things that I champion.
Great. Having started at the grassroots level, in your business, how can what you do in your business help nonprofits, organizations?
Wow. Well, you're hitting all my hot buttons. Nonprofit is my niche. For those that don't know, and I share this, you know, as I'm led to, 26 years ago, I found myself homeless with an 8-month-old daughter. Thank God I wasn't homeless long. But, you know, having two jobs and still could not meet ends meet, it was very hard for me. And so the only program that I was able to access was the food program. There were different churches that had it, and they didn't necessarily ask you for your income. So I was able to put food in our household. So I had food if I didn't have anything else, as I used the other money to pay my bills. So nonprofit is a big deal to me. A lot of our grassroots nonprofit organizations, they're doing the work, but unfortunately the back office infrastructure is not necessarily always in place for them to access greater funding. And so looking at how do we build a consortium of nonprofits and getting professionals like myself and others that have walked this process out to stabilize them to a larger amount, and then other grant funding to allow them to become greater at what they're doing for those that want to. Some of them do not want to go through the process of the paperwork, so they don't want to move the needle. They want to just keep doing what they're doing. But we know funders and donors don't fund feelings. They fund impact. So we got to get them to a level from service delivery, but program outcomes, so it can show what they're doing actually have economic impact, social impact, physical impact, mental impact, and economic impact overall.
Wow, that sounds great. And I think the people that's on this podcast listening to what you have to offer will just greatly appreciate the information that you're giving right now. And I know later on, before we close out, I'll have you get some information on how to contact you personally if they want to get more information on this. But I do have one more question pertaining to the city itself, and that is, what is your vision for the city of Revere Beach?
Right. Well, I have to say this once. If elected. Did you need to say something else? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You're fine. Just okay. when you elaborate on that, just say a little bit about what you have for the store for the seniors also.
Yes, definitely. So the first thing, I know we talk about the theme of politics and what politics is, but I really want to make sure we understand public service has one purpose, and that's to serve the citizens. That's to serve the community, from our children, from our young adults, to our businesses, and to our seniors, most importantly. And so before you can say you can do anything, you need to assess what is already in place, so we're not spinning our wheels and using the limited resources we already have. So my first goal in my first 100 days being in office is to meet with the department head, find out what's working, what's not working, what can we do better, and what is needed for those things to happen. Concurrently, meeting with seniors, however best we can do it. We know seniors are not, most of them are not on social media. So how do we galvanize those senior populations? Do we hold, you know, community, you know, forums and all of those things and hear what their cry is? Find out those pain points and then look at traditional and non-traditional ways of how we get and bring in the resources that's needed to make things happen. Before you can say or figure out what needs to be done, it has to be an assessment. From that assessment, creating strategies. From those strategies, creating action steps. From action steps, creating activities. And from activities, evaluations. From evaluations, the impact.
Okay, sounds great. Sandra, really sounds great. Right now, Ms. We may have a few questions for you. And Ms. McNeil?
Yes, I just wanted to go back to your beginning, early beginning. Can you share with us a little bit about, you know, where's home for you, where'd you go to high school, where'd you grow up, so
mm-hmm.
people can get a little feel, a little better feel about where mm-hmm. you come from?
Okay. Well, I was born here. I was born in West Palm Beach, Florida, right at Good Samaritan Hospital. Unfortunately, my mom had six children, and she decided after six children, she would, divide us up and give each one of us to our fathers. So my dad is from a little town in Mississippi, but he's been in Florida since he was 16, and he's like 80-something now. So he's been here some 70-some years. So, but my forming years, I like to call them from 4 to 16, I was raised in Holly Springs, Mississippi. So my work ethics and all of those things, I went there. My last year in high school, I completed here at Twin Lakes High School in the awesome year of 1988. We was the last class to graduate from Twin Lakes, what they call the, we call it the end of the era. That was our class theme. So I've been back in Florida since 1987. I have lived in Riviera Beach since 2001.
Phenomenal. Well, welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back.
So you count that I've been back in Florida for like 35 years now.
Okay. Let me just ask you, you know, what is it that you may want to share with our audience and people who may decide to vote for you that most people don't know, something that most people don't know, and you wish there was one thing that they knew about you and or your career or your vision or your mission or your passion?
Wow. Oh, wow. You know, Miss Ann, and you probably don't know who you're talking to, we were in Tallahassee together.
I remember. I took a picture, actually.
Yeah. Exactly. And the biggest thing I found on this campaign journey that a lot of the services that I provided, people didn't know that it was me doing it. And, you know, to no fault of my own, all of the work that I've done in, you know, throughout the city for over the last 20 years, even having a tutoring program where I used to use my church van, come to Riviera Beach and pick up the children and bring them to tutoring three times a week. I mean, I sort of kind of forgot about those things. And so I would have to say I wish that I don't want to say I did a better job of, you know, letting people know who I was, but there was a way that people could really just peel back the pages and, you know, do their due diligence of research of who I am and the work that I've done, much of it on my own money, on my own dime, because when I went through that phase of homelessness 26 years ago now, I made a vow that I would live my life every day to make a difference, and I do that. But I don't always feel the need to tell people that I did it. And so many people, whether it's their family or a friend, don't even know of the work that I've done. So I don't know how I could package that, but I came to the awareness, you know, that a lot of people, as much work I've done in the community, how many people I've helped and the churches I've worked with and the organizations I've helped form, and, you know, they've grown and grown and grown. A lot of people still don't know who I am because I didn't stand on a pedestal and say, hey, Chandra is doing this. I just did it. I see a need. I meet a need. And so I wish, you know, for those that are listening, if you've never heard of me before, please Google my name. I'm not being facetious or braggadocious. Google who I am. Look at the different things I've been a part of. Ask your neighbors. Ask friends. If you don't know me, I guarantee if you ask 10 other people, at least two of those 10 should know who I am. And I would have to think that is the biggest thing that I was made aware of as I've been doing this campaign journey.
Okay. Now, what's one thing you wish you had known when you started your career and your business?
Ooh-wee. I wish I had known how to connect with people early, because people, a lot of times we don't know human capital is really the richest resource other than money. You know, a lot of times we feel if we had money, we'll have everything, but really it's connecting to humans. You know, individuals like yourself that's been on this journey a long time. You know, individuals that hey, say, hey, watch that hurdle, watch that heel, rather than, you know, people like to say experience is the best teacher. And I'm like, no, it's not. It teaches you so you don't make those same mistakes. So that's the biggest thing I would have loved to have been aware of, but, oh, I'm making up for it now.
No, that's okay. And I think that what we all learn along the way is that service above self. I'm a Rotarian, and one of the main model for Rotarians all over the world is service above self. And I think that when we serve, we don't serve to be served. So we do that, right. And as we do that, it's like making deposits into a bank account. And the deposits grow over time exponentially the longer you give and the longer you share. And so you don't do it to expect any gratification or anything in return. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that we have a responsibility, though, to and this is where, you know, to kind of get close to that line, we have a responsibility to ask. One of my favorite scriptures talk about ask, seek, and knock. But we have a responsibility to ask for help. And as we continue to ask for that help, that circle enlarges. So we want to congratulate you for continuing to enlarge your circle. And if you could think of, say, maybe two or three people who have influenced you, they don't have to be from the city, right, but have influenced you to do what you're doing in the spirit of service, who would they be and why?
Wow. Well, the first person is going to be my aunt. She passed in 2017. She had kids of her own, but when my dad took us to Mississippi, she didn't think twice about four of her kids had have mental disabilities. And so she was an educator. She worked in the Marshall County Head Start program for 50 years, and she taught me the importance of education. And we lived very poor, but we had an encyclopedia set. And so she was that seed that was, you know, that planted in me that it doesn't matter where you live, but always dress and act where you're going. And so she would be the first person. And the second person I have to say was Addie Green. I always have to remind her that she was my communications teacher and at Palm Beach State. Freshman Communications 1 and 2, and I was in the business program, and I'll never forget it. And I came to her office one day. I'm like, you know, I want to compete in this speech. It was, I forget the name of the category, but I want to compete. I know it was related to speech. And I'm like, but I don't think I'm worthy of it. And she told me this. Let me tell you something. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. You go and you compete. And I went from the state all the way to California from her words that she spoke to me. And Addie Green, you know, was that other person that, alongside my aunt, that had that major impact on me.
Awesome. Now, as we prepare to wrap up, Artie, you have any other questions before we start wrapping up?
No, just my final thoughts, what I want to do is just ask her. First of all, I want to thank her for being able to come on and share a wealth of information for the viewers or the listeners, and just give them a little information on how they can get more information about you or the business that you do, and how they can their nonprofits can contact you and be able to have more clarity on what they need to do to succeed.
Awesome, Claude. Thank you for that. Well, my cell number is public information. They can always reach me. I prefer texting. I hate to say it, but I prefer texting. 561-385-4657. 561-357. That totally really is the preferred method. And if you don't like texting, you can call and leave me a message. My email is too long, but you can find more information out about me on my website. That's www.gcifl.com. And if you're interested in volunteering or finding more about me, about being the candidate for the mayor, please go to Chandra Stringer, that's my first and my last name, the number 4, the word mayor.com. Chandra Stringer, the number 4, the word mayor.com. And I definitely want to give you guys a big thank you for allowing me to be on your podcast on today.
Absolutely. We also want to give you the last word if you want to share anything that we may not have discussed with our listeners, so that you can make sure, I know you've given their your information, but anything else that we've not asked that you would like the listeners to know about you?
Yeah. Not necessarily about me, but I definitely want us as a community to understand we all have a part to play. Every single person have a part to play. Like you said, ask, seek, and knock and find out what that purpose is and do that. Because it's in your purpose where you will find your happy place. And please, if you're in business, get information. I'm not saying information. Get that too, but get in. I-N space formation. There are so many resources out there, but we can't get them if we're not in the right position to receive them.
Thank you so very much. We want to remind our listeners that you have been listening to hashtag I Am Riviera Beach with Ms. Chandra Stringer, who is candidate for mayor for the city of Riviera Beach, Florida, and Ann McNeil and Artie Williams, your co-host. It has been an awesome pleasure, Ms. Stringer, to have you on. She is the embodiment of someone who works at the grassroots level to make a difference with individuals and organizations. And I want to close with the same words I started, that from the words of Russell Conwell in Acres of Diamonds, we are all leaving our diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamond mines, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us in our own hometown from which we've come. So we look forward to seeing all of you next week, same place, same time, right here on hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. And everybody have a good evening. Thank you and good day.
Thank you.